Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, the 12th of February, 2012. Jesus heals the man with leprosy, restoring him to the community. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad, so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, leprosy is almost eradicated, at least from the majority of countries. The leprosy we know as Hansen's disease. We think of St. Peter Damien, right, out on Molokai. Just at the turn of the 19th century, there was this huge fear of leprosy. And if you became a leper, if you had this disease, you were thrown out, just as it said in the Bible's Old Testament. You were thrown outside the camp. And so they built a leprosarium at the base of these steep cliffs on Molokai, where you really couldn't walk out of there. And they would boat in supplies or bring them down the steep cliffs on a donkey, like donkey caravan. Blessed Damien, or St. Damien, talks about going to confession, but no other priest wanting to get too close to him. And so he would sit in a boat, you know, like a dory or a little skiff, at some distance from the ship that had come in to bring supplies, and he would yell, right? "Father, Father, Father, forgive me." Across the water. He would do it in Latin. The other priests knew Latin, and maybe the locals didn't know that much Latin, but it wasn't exactly a private confession, as he's yelling across the water his sins. We know they couldn't have been too great, right? Because he's St. Damien today. He eventually, after living with the lepers for decades, contracts the disease and is in hospice care there by a sister, a nun, and eventually dies there with the people he so loved. There's something about visiting a leprosarium that changes people's lives. Has anyone had the privilege? I have not. But I know friends who have. One of my best friends, Katie Gesto, became a medical missionary to Africa after she got her nursing degree at Steubenville. And she said that was the most amazing thing. I mean, she'd been working with lots of poor, meeting Christ in the needs of the Dinka people in southern Sudan. But just this last year, she was out on the island, or I guess large island, of Mozambique. And leprosy is still a huge problem there. And when she would touch someone with leprosy, which it's safe to do, they would just thrill in delight because that's the one thing no one would do. No one would reach out and touch them. So I think that's why it's so important that Jesus does the exact same thing in the gospel. Or maybe my friend Katie learned it right from Jesus. That Jesus was willing to touch the untouchable. Right? You were to wear your clothes and your hair and your beard differently so that people from a long way off could tell you were unclean. And if they approached too close, you'd have to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" It's not exactly building up your self-esteem. Right? In fact, you would just spiral into depression. But when Katie would care for these lepers on Mozambique, they were thrilled to be loved. And so much so that it was like Christ was looking up at her from these hospice beds. I mean, she was caring for the very weakest, right, and most ill in the community there. And she said they gave her far more than she ever gave them. How many people have had that experience, right, in caring for someone in need? That somehow it pulls out of us strengths we don't even know we have, and we become like Jesus. Jesus, it says, was moved with pity, heartfelt, gut-wrenching compassion for the one who had been thrown out of the community. Do you hear how awful the rule is? Right? If you have any eczema, acne, right, blotch, pustule, you're thrown out of the camp. Right? You have to go live on High Island. Right? You can't be anywhere on Wrangel Island or anywhere on Petersburg Island, Metcalf. You can't be somewhere where there's other people. If you got any food at all, it was food that was left at the edge of town before the people retreated from the basket. These were definitely ostracized, ridiculed, spit upon. And Jesus touches them. It's the most curing of any particular disease that Jesus does. Right? He heals a lot of blindness. But first of all, he heals lepers. Now, why is that? Either there was just rampant, crazy, you know, outbreak of epidemic level leprosy in the first century, which we don't have any historical context for, or Jesus felt that these ones who had been thrown out of their community, right? You could still be a cripple or blind or unable to hear or speak and stay within your community. But a leper was thrown outside. And Jesus found these ones to restore them to the community, right? Which is his mission statement. He came to bring glad tidings to those who are outside and to welcome them in. Now, how many of us have felt outside from the in crowd? I, as a little child, I still have dyslexia, really bad. Words move around on the page if I'm tired. And I get all of my letters out of order. But one of the things I couldn't do as a child was run very well. I often tripped and fell, or hit a ball, or avoid being hit by a ball. I was the favorite target for dodgeball, and I was never picked to play foursquare or baseball or basketball. And I reacted, you know, rather poorly with anger. So we'd be playing soccer, and someone would take the ball away from me, which was pretty easy to do, and I would tackle them. Which isn't exactly how you play soccer, so I know now. So my mom very wisely found another sport for me to play. And I joined the swim team at the age of 8 or 9. And you can't fall down while you're swimming. It's fantastic. And I became, an aquanaut. I just love swimming. Often went to junior nationals in swimming, sailing, scuba diving, surfing, water polo. Not a problem. Once I was in the water, it was like where I was supposed to be. And even my glasses today, who I need to, you know, I can't read your name tags if I take them off. If I wear swim goggles without my glasses, I can see the other end of the pool underwater, but not above the water. So whatever quirk of fate it is, my vision was actually clearer in the water. So no wonder I loved doing it. You know, and when I'd go scuba diving, it was like, it was beautiful. The particular shape of my eye was perfect for the refraction that was caused by the water. Who knows what God has planned for me? I don't see myself being like saying mass underwater at all, you know? It'd be really hard to preach with a regulator in your mouth. But I'm suggesting that I've often felt on the outside, and we know what that feeling's like. It's awful. You know, it's like, hey, there's people having fun over there, and I'm not invited. How many people have felt that way? Yeah. Well, you know what? Jesus is with you on the outside. And so if you want to find Jesus, we need to be more like him. Now, Paul makes this huge boast. He says, be like me, for I am like Christ. Wow. I mean, rarely does any saint say that during their lifetime. We might proclaim them a saint later, but it sounds a little boastful, doesn't it? To say, I'm just like Christ. I think what Paul is trying to tell us is that even though he does it poorly, Christ is in him. And if he can do it, so can we. Right? What was Paul doing on his way to Damascus? He had papers from the church in Jerusalem to arrest all of those Christians and either put them to death or drag them back to Jerusalem in chains. He was not too friendly to the followers of Jesus. And then Jesus showed up and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you? That I might know how to answer that question. Right? And Jesus said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Wow. Now, Paul and Jesus had never met while Jesus was alive. But Jesus is saying something to all of us right there, that Jesus lives in us. And that when we're nice to someone else, we're nice to Jesus. When we're not so nice to someone else, we're not nice to Jesus. That always gives me pause when I'm ready to attack someone. Even if they're wrong and deserve to be set straight. I'm like, Jesus, where are you? I can't see you. Right? No playing hide and seek, Lord. How much can we become like Jesus? Well, our saints say that they can become all the way. That when someone meets us, they meet Jesus himself. That's the goal of our faith. How do we get there? I'd suggest that we live a life of compassion, of this gut-wrenching, heartfelt mercy that wants to reach out to another one in need. Because we know that's what Jesus did in his lifetime and even after the resurrection. Right? He shows up to Paul to teach him, look, you have to care for these ones that are following after me. And in fact, even though you don't agree with it now, you're going to be my witness to the ends of the earth, which Paul, in fact, does. Last Monday night, we watched the Catholicism series video on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if you haven't seen this yet, it's fantastic. Next week, going along with today's second reading, is the life of Peter and Paul. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. There's this amazing statement, though, in last week's video. And it's about Our Lady of Guadalupe, who we have here on the wall. When the Blessed Mother comes to us, she comes looking like us. So if she appears in Africa, she has African features, an African hair and African skin color, speaking the local African dialect. When she's in Japan, she looks and acts and sounds Japanese. When she's in European countries like Lourdes or Fatima or Medjugorje, she's speaking the local language, dressing like the local population. I find that really interesting. Maybe there's a special Burlett school in heaven, because between an African dialect and Japanese and Croatian, there's a lot of difference in those languages. But Mary seems to be fluent in all of them. But the most amazing thing is this image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because instead of coming as a Spaniard who were bringing Christianity to the New World, right? So 1492, Columbus discovers the Caribbean. The Caribbean indigenous people thought it was pretty nice already. In 1531, Our Lady of Guadalupe shows up to an old man, which is unusual. Normally, the visions are to young children, Lourdes, Fatima, Medjugorje. But Juan Diego is like 52, which had been pretty old in 1531. And she says, "Juanito," right, little Juan, "my precious child, take this message to the bishop. I want a church built here." And he's like, "All right." Goes to the bishop. The bishop kind of says, "Who are you?" "Yeah, no, I'm not building a church there because some person on the hilltop asked you to. I want a sign." And so the sign that Mary gives a few days later on the 12th of December is he has Juan go to the top of the hilltop and collect Castilian roses, which were the kind of rose that grew in the bishop's hometown on the 12th of December. They were in full bloom. Well, obviously a miracle. So he fills his tilma, right, his cloak, with all these roses. And he's not going to show anybody until he's in front of the bishop. And people are trying to peek, and he's like, I can only show the bishop. So, and they make him wait hours, because he was of mixed blood. He wasn't fully Spaniard, and he wasn't fully Native American. They had already said, "You're outside our group. We don't have to listen to you." And in fact, this is the one the Blessed Mother picks to send the message. So Juan Diego thinks that the roses are the message. He gets in front of the bishop and he drops his tilma, and the roses spill out on the floor, and this image appears. And it appears in a flash. Those who have studied the image scientifically will look into Mary's eye and see a reflection of the bishop, one of his other priests that was there, and an African slave. And they're like, "What's the deal with an African slave doing in Mary's eye?" Well, they looked into it, and he had, as you know, his houseboy, an African slave that nobody knew about until they did some research. So it's a most amazing image. So the image, and they've done all kinds of tests on it. They don't know what it's. They know it's on cactus fiber, but they have no idea what the pigments are and why they're still there 400 years later. What's really interesting is that she looks like the woman in the Book of Revelations, doesn't she? A woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon with a crown of stars on her head. She comes also as the one who is clothed with all of the Aztec gods, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And in 10 years, there are 3,000 baptisms a day for 10 years of the indigenous population of the whole area of Mexico becoming Catholic. This is a huge change. And human sacrifice that had been practiced ends. What this says to me is that God is interested in our lives today and will continue to send messengers that look a lot like us. So if you're sitting next to someone, they might just have a message for you from Jesus. Right? Because God abides in us. Let's learn to listen to one another, especially those that we hold on the outside of our group. Maybe it's time to let a few more in. Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.